And so, do you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good?
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatches from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We are coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do. I'm glad you could join us down here. I just got back from Canada. I just got back into New York City just the other day, and it still smells like shit, and it's still disgusting weather out there, and there's still bugs and fucking rats everywhere. So nothing changed in the 5 days I was gone. Which is great. That's good to know. Some things don't change, I guess. Anyway, we just got back from Canada, doing a little trip I was doing up there. Lauren is sitting here with me, my good friend Lauren. What's up, Lauren?
Hey, guys. What's up?
Thank you for coming over and doing this show with me today. You're welcome, Joey. It's very good to be here. I love the show. You're an amazing host. Oh, thank you, Lauren.
I feel like you could just do this by yourself.
Yeah, just stop right there. Stop right there. We'll get into all that amazing Joey Steele stuff in just a little bit. We don't want to lose anybody here at the beginning of the podcast gushing about me. Okay, Joey. But there's so much more to say. I know. Just relax. It's fine.
It's like you're reading my mind.
I just got back from Canada for 4 days. I was supposed to be hanging out with the Leftover Crack crew, just doing merch for them. Since I don't have a job, it was a perfect situation for me hang out with some buddies and sell some merch. So that was going to be fine. But however, we have a little bit of an incident at the border, and we're going to go into that incident and what happened and the fallout from that incident. And how my life was made more challenging. I don't want to say worse or horrible, although I think those words could slip in there.
They might come up.
And I don't want to say great. I know other people want me to say that, but it was really just a challenging moment. So we're going to talk about that situation, everything that happened, why it happened, what the fuck happened exactly. And yeah, it should be a good time. We're going to have a good time now.
Yes.
At this moment, sitting in New York City. After all this is done, Lauren and I are going to have a good time.
Yes, exactly.
And you're going to have a good time listening to this because you're going to hear a ton of shit talking because no one's here to stop us from shit talking.
True.
There's no border patrol or fucking here to stop us from shit talking. But before we get to this Leftover Crack tale, I want to say a few thank yous. First of all, thank you to Lauren for coming onto the show and doing this with us. I know you're super busy doing actual work and getting actually paid to do things. So thank you for doing all that.
Of course.
I want to thank Leftover Crack for bringing me along on the tour and believing in me enough to do what they did. Although I don't know if that confidence was incredibly well placed, but we're going to talk about that. I want to thank y'all for tuning in and thank everybody out there who continues to share Dispatches from the Underground on their social media and everywhere. I really appreciate everyone listening in. I appreciate the people who've donated recently. Thank you very much for donating, those of you who have. If you didn't know, the show is free. However, I am broke and have no job. So if you do dig this and you listen frequently, I would appreciate anything you could do by going to our Dispatches from the Underground page, dispatchfromtheunderground.com. There's a donate button that I now know does in fact work. Because I was unsure for a while.
All right, good to know.
It does work. And you can leave a donation if you find any substance on the show as being worthwhile. I would appreciate it very much. Also, thank you to Real Punk Radio. RealPunkRadio.com continues to air Dispatch from the Underground every Wednesday night right after Tommy Unit's show. Thank you very much, Tommy. Thank you very much, Real Punk Radio. They have great programming on there, not just because of Dispatches, although mainly because of Dispatches, obviously. It's an amazing show, if you didn't know. But also they have other incredible stuff to listen to, and they always are turning you on to new and great bands. So check that out. I think you're going to dig it very much if you haven't heard of it before. Anyway, that's all the thank yous. That's all really the gratitude I have in me, I guess.
Yeah, maybe some more at the end.
I don't think I have any. I do want to say that I hope people listening aren't just listening for the shit talking, although that's the primary reason I do it.
Why else would they listen?
Well, the point of the show is to try and get a little bit of perspective on our fucked up lives, to try and get a little bit of depth on these situations we're in. And I think by us reflecting on the things we're going through, hopefully that encourages you to reflect on the things you're going through. And usually we talk about the mainstream, although, you know, we're not really going to do that today. Usually we talk about things that are going on the underground, although we're not really going to do that today either. We're truly going to shit talk. But I do think... That
we'll,
you
throw
know,
some of that in.
Yeah, we'll try to. We'll make it look like we're doing that, I guess.
We'll see.
I do think it's important for us to all reflect on the direction we're headed and hopefully head there faster and harder. And hopefully that's what this show does for people. It helps them get to this better world that we're all trying to get to a little faster, a little harder. And let's try to get there, I guess, right now, Lauren, if that's cool.
Let's do it.
Do you have any thank yous you want to give out?
Thank you, Joey Steele.
Oh, that's, you know what? That and then a bunch of money is really all I'm asking for, if that's not too much, but I'll live with that, I guess. All right. Let's get to the discussion Lauren and I are going to have about this recent Canadian Leftover Crack tour and my stint posing as Scott Sturgeon, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joey Stizza Steele.
New name.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. All right. Get down. All right, before we get to the discussion about songs that I sing that I didn't write the lyrics to, I want to start this episode with a song that I actually did write the lyrics to and sang myself. This is a song from Skullcaster, my band Skullcaster, which Jason from All Torn Up is also in with our good friends Callum and Jerry. And we will be on tour with another good friend of ours, Maka, who was in the band Scaraneros and Clitorium and a bunch of other great bands here in New York City. Maka's going to be playing guitar with us and a few of the dates of our upcoming tour that we have with Escape from the Zoo, which is happening October 6th through the 14th. Escape from the Zoo and Skullcaster are putting out a split record together, four songs all together, two songs each. Their songs are all incredible. Obviously, I think the Skullcaster songs are amazing. I'm super happy with what we did. We stepped up. We got them produced by an amazing engineer here in New York City, Travis Bacon, who's in Black Anvil and a bunch of other bands, and he did an amazing job. But the Escape from the Zoo songs are also fucking incredible, and everyone is going to love them. They might be better than our songs. I don't know. It's hard for me to say. But I'm going to play a song that we don't have on our upcoming album. This is a song from most recent release, Srime, which you can get on our Bandcamp page, going to skullcasternyc.bandcamp.com. This is a song called Riot City, and it's about whatever town you're from and burning it to the ground. I think you're going to relate to it. Yeah. Riot City by Skullcaster. Get down.
Yeah.
thanks again for coming over and doing this. I do want to clarify before we begin. I have a bunch of things that I like they're not prepared statements, but they may as well have been. If I had been more prepared, they would be prepared statements. But I don't think what I did in Canada is replacing Sturgeon. And so the Joey Stizza Steel comment, I feel like Sturgeon would kick me in the dick if he heard me say that. And not like he's going to listen to the show. But, you know, that's not what I was doing. It's not, I didn't mean it as like a dig to Sturgeon or anything like that. Certainly not what I intended to do. And it's certainly not what the audience has got. But just wanted to say that off the bat. But let's talk about the situation, I guess. I don't know. What do you, as an outsider looking in on this past whatever week it was.
Yeah.
It feels like a fucking month. I think it was so long. It
hasn't been that long ago.
What is your perception of what happened? Because I'm curious of how other people see this.
All right. So I guess me, along with everybody else, just saw online that LSE posted that two of the members didn't get in, Sturgeon and Brad, and that they were going to keep the shows going, offered refunds to everybody else. They didn't want to cancel, obviously, because, you know, a good portion of the people did get in, and there were going to be some replacements. And that's pretty much all the information we had. So I think everybody's wondering, like, what happened? What went down?
Yeah, so like I said in the intro, Leftover Crack was headed to Canada, and they had four shows, which, you know, as their driver and as their merch guy, I didn't even know we were doing four shows. Like, that's how much information
you,
I knew.
You just knew you were going to Canada.
I knew we were going to Canada. I needed my passport. I knew that I didn't have a criminal record that would prevent me from getting in. I knew that we had some shows, and then I would be back, like, in a week or something like that. I mean, wasn't even sure when I was going
to
get
back. That's all I really need to know.
That's all I knew. Anyway, so Leftover Crack was going to do these shows. Our first show was in Toronto, so we had driven up to like Niagara Falls, Buffalo area.
All right.
And we go to the border. It's in the van is me, Alec from Leftover Crack, Sturgeon, Brad Logan, all obviously members of Leftover Crack. Donnie, who is playing drums, who lives in Southern California, is also in Rats on the Wall with Brad Logan. And that's it. That's everyone in the van.
Okay.
And two people are supposed to meet us in Canada. Dave from Crumb Bums, and he's now singing from The Casualties, and he's in Starving Wolves. Dave is going to meet us there to help out with merch also and just hang out. And also Reed, who is from a ska band that I was unfamiliar with before this, called We Are the Union. Anyway, Reed is playing second guitar in the band. And Reed and Dave were meeting us in Toronto.
Were they flying?
They were already in the city. They were already in Toronto by the time we got to the border.
Okay, so they were just waiting for you there.
They were just waiting for us.
All right, cool.
So we get to the border in Niagara Falls, and we obviously get flagged immediately because we're touring with a band called Leftover Crack. And every border agent, every time we cross a border with these guys, is always like,
yeah, great name, but it does like throw up some red flags, I'm sure.
Yeah, horrible flags. I remember one time we were crossing the border, and the border agent, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, you guys are touring with the band. What's the name of the band? And they're like, I don't remember if I was driving at this point or Alec was driving, and we're like, Leftover Crack, and the touring agent just kind of like double takes, like if they had fucking water in their mouth, they would have spit it out, and like, what? Leftover what? And they're like, yeah, you're going to need to pull over to here, and we're going to have to check all your shit.
I was actually getting some stuff printed off for Sturgeon like a couple weeks ago for Leftover Crack, and I'm like, oh, yeah, we've been to this place before, and I pulled out the copy that I was going off. He's like, oh, yeah, I remember you guys. Because it was the Rock the 40-ounce cover.
Yeah. That's so, a memorable
definitely
one.
He's like, oh, yeah. Yep.
God, even worse than that. One time we were in fucking Florida, and I was with Sturgeon. It was me and Jason and Sturgeon. And they had a bunch of merch boxes left over after a tour, and we had to, like, send them to California or whatever. But the boxes they had labeled them, all the boxes they had labeled in their van were, each one was labeled like one sex, one was drugs, one was like guns and ammo. And I'm like, you want me to ship these fucking merchandise full of like shoot the kids at school t-shirts that says guns?
And they made you do it, right?
yeah. I'm like, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. I don't think it's going to happen. Anyway, I think we just got new boxes, but it was still like, yeah, we need to get some boxes. Anyway, we get to the border, we get flagged, we get pulled over. They're like going to search the van, everything seems like relatively innocent. We walk into the Canadian customs or whatever immigration office, mm-hmm. and, you know, just so they, like, while we sit down, they're going to search the van, like search our shit, you know?
Yeah,
so
for
we,
leftover crack. Right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think they do this for like a lot of like touring things. Yeah, there were other buses came through with like tourists that they were also doing it to. But,
well, yeah, you got more places to, you know.
But no one sat next to us because we looked like criminals.
Well,
which is fair enough. Except for Sturgeon, who's wearing like a three-piece suit. He looks great. But the rest of us were like fucking, like just disgusting smelling and fucking tattooed. Anyway, we're sitting in the office and then slowly, one by one, they're just like, Brad Logan, Stizza, come up here. And they're like, you know, not even, I'm not even fully sure all the situation of what happened. Mm-hmm. I never asked. It's none of my fucking business.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, they both got denied at the border. And we left him there. We just left him. We had to go on. So, well, that night, actually, they didn't fuck him up that night. So the immigration officer who made us sit there for like 4 hours. It was brutal.
That sounds terrible.
None of us knew it was happening. It was,
you're just like in limbo at that point, yeah. Like at the mercy of Border Patrol.
I mean, we kind of assumed we weren't getting in. And I was like, fuck, I need some money. Like, this sucks. And they all spent a bunch of money just to get there. You know?
Oh, yeah.
There's a ton of money involved. So we're all just kind of like getting used to the idea of this show's not happening at all. And they don't detain him or deport them, which is important because then they could try again. So we had paperwork. They had a lawyer. Like, they've gotten in Canada the year before. Like, this was all sorted out. They had a lawyer. We had a lawyer ready to get in. Like, it wasn't just some haphazard bullshit.
Yeah.
There was paperwork pre-done and prepared for this.
Yeah, that's where I was, like, a little bit confused. Like, you already had to put in all your information. So, like, to get denied,
it didn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense. But the immigration officer who made this all happen was like, you're not getting deported, so you still have the opportunity to get in again. Basically, you need to try again.
Okay.
So we're like, okay, so tomorrow maybe this will work out. All right, so maybe we'll go and like we'll get some paperwork. We'll go to like a U.S. something. I don't know. We don't really know what we're doing.
Yeah.
So we go to a hotel that night. I'm just like fed up of being in a van with these guys for a while. So I just go running. They all go to get food. And in the hour that I'm running and that they're going to get food, I come back and I'm like, you know, I see him outside, see Alec and Brad and Sturgeon outside the hotel mm-hmm. that we're staying at, like talking. And I'm like, yeah, guys, what's up? Let's go to the casino. Let's hang out. Let's have some fun. You know, fucking just drove for like 10 hours. Like, I'm going to take a shower. Let's go fucking have some fun. They're all like, listen, Joey, you're going to sing on this tour. And I'm like, yeah.
Like, seriously, nice joke, guys.
Yeah, like, seriously, let's go. I'm just going to take a quick shower. And I turn to go. And then, like, one of them, I don't remember who, grabbed me by the shoulder. I'm like, no, seriously, would you, if this doesn't work out, would you be okay with this? I'm like,
no.
No? No, not at all. Like, how big are these shows? And they're like, oh, the first show is like 1,000 people. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here. They're going to fucking murder me. 1,000 people who want to see Sturgeon up there singing and Brad playing guitar. And I'm going to come out and just be like, hey, what's up? I'm all torn up. Check it out. I'm going to fucking sing some of your favorite songs tonight. I'm going to ruin
like
everything you love. Yeah. I'm like, A, I don't even know the words to half these songs. B, I don't know any of the timing. Like, I know I could sing along in the car, but yeah. Like, how many bars is it? Like, how long is the guitar solo? Like, I don't fucking know. That's all. These are all cool. I love Danzig, my favorite band of all time. Mm-hmm. And Alec from Leftover Crack and I did a cover set like last Halloween of Danzig covers. And I had to have like all of the words next to me because all the time, you know, you think you know a song, but when you actually have to sing it like to music without other vocals on it, it's completely different.
Oh, yeah.
And like I know those songs, like the best songs and more than I know all torn up songs. I still had to have the words right there and like the timing and like what, you know, how many bars I had to go. I'm not the same with Leftover Crack, you know, especially the ska songs. I don't really like ska. I don't know if you know this.
I do know
not
that,
a big
actually.
Ska fan.
You'll never tell us why, though.
Yeah, I feel like anyone who needs to ask that question is never going to understand my reasons. Anyway, Sturgeon's like, no, seriously, can you do it? And I'm like, I'll do anything you guys want me to, but this is a really bad idea. Like, this is not a good idea. Please don't make me do this. So we, you know, we think you know, we think we're going to be able to do this tomorrow. They still want to go through the tour, primarily because they want to make sure the people who were coming from far away, people were flying in from other places. They were already in those cities.
Yeah.
They were driving in from far away to see them.
I mean, Canada's huge. You guys were only doing four different stops. So
exactly.
If they want to see LOC, they got to go to one of those places.
And so they, you know, they had come from far away and they were already in place, the hotels and fucking seeing them. People had already made plans around them. They've already organized their lives around these things.
Which is amazing.
And very nice of them. It's very nice of LOC that they wanted these shows to still happen. And this is like a very unexpected problem because we had the fucking paperwork. They had been in the last time with no problem. They had just toured Europe and Australia with no problems.
Yeah.
And they had a lawyer that they had to sort all these things out to make sure this didn't happen. So none of these things were expected.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to make sure that the fans could at least, you know, that they would at least be doing everything possible to make these shows happen. People would still be offered refunds, which everyone still could get.
Yeah, which was great. But I mean, you're already there. You might as well go see the show.
Exactly. For people who suffered to make sure that make it happen, they wanted to make sure the show still happened. Even if only five people came.
Yeah.
And their guarantees would have whatever, you know, whatever, not being, been whatever. At least they would have made the show happen. Also, you know, they had expenses too that were large and difficult, and they wanted to at least try to cover some of the fucking plane tickets that they were ass out because they've been, you know, fucked over by this border situation too. So
everybody's fucked over by the border situation.
Everybody's fucked over by the border situation. And I would like to say, I feel like I was fucked over the most in all of this. All
right, please explain how that's the case. One of the people that got into the country.
Because we're going to talk about this, I feel like, in a minute, in a little bit more detail. But Dave, who did the other half of the vocals, and I, we were just expecting to hang out and, like, you know, have fun.
Yeah.
And, like, do some work and have some fun. We didn't know these songs, and we were up there just shaking in our boots. Anyway, we're going to talk about that. I just want to lodge in the forefront that I feel like, above everybody who got fucked over, I feel like it's me. I don't know if that's selfish to Sturgeon and Brad and to all the fans who got screwed over, but it
totally
like,
is
it?
Yeah. I mean, you can feel that way, but it's still selfish.
You don't think that they feel for me?
I'm sure they feel for you.
I don't think they do. I don't think they do, having met many of them. So anyway, I do want to say, to Sturgeon and Brad's credit, when we abandoned them at the border, which we literally did, we literally left them standing at the border.
Suppose.
They were trying to get in, and they got fucked over again. Like, when we left them, we're just like, yeah, figure it out. We don't know where you're going to go or how you're going to get there.
But bye.
But see ya. We're going to go make this happen. To Sturgeon and Brad's credit, especially Sturgeon, he made everything. He did everything he could to make these shows happen for people. It, you know, a lot of other front men, a lot of other singers would have been like, I can't get in. Fuck these shows. These shows are all canceled. No one's doing the show without me. I'm the show. I'm the center. It's all me.
Yeah, I mean, there's canceled. A ton of bands that, you know, just think they're the entire band, essentially. It's the ego that I feel like gets a lot of people. And that's amazing that, you know, he's able to just be like, no, I want like the fans to have the shows.
In every moment of this, he never was like out of control. He was never flustered or you know, he was obviously frustrated, but he never lost control. He was never like, he didn't throw a tantrum. He didn't get upset. He was always just trying to figure out how to make the next step work. It was very professional of him. And I feel like a lot of people aren't going to believe me when I say that, but it was very professional of him. And he was always, always, always thinking of the fans first. And it was very impressive to see a front man acting that way. It was in any band, whether they were a band that had reason to or not. And Sturgeon, most certainly. Everyone's coming there to see Sturgeon sing these songs.
Yeah.
You know, he's an amazing singer. He's an amazing songwriter. And he's also an amazing front person in that he goes up there and he can get that fucking crowd going. I've seen Left Over Crack play like, I don't know, 150 times, and it's still entertaining because Sturgeon fucking knows how to entertain a crowd. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Also,
so Joey, if All Torn Up had to leave you at the border, would you have them go on?
Yeah, I think this is a good question.
Just because you're another front man.
And I feel like they wouldn't be happy more than me, but if this was the situation where we fully expected these shows to happen,
yeah,
people had bought tickets, people were expecting the shows to happen, I think that I would not have a problem with it.
Okay.
If they were like, hey, Joey, we're going to go on a tour without you, we're going to have an issue. We're going to have a chit-chat.
Okay, well, yeah, that's a completely different story.
I think anybody who cares about the people who come to their shows if they sit and think about it for a minute, they're going to do anything to make that show happen.
Yeah.
And it was impressive that Sturgeon fought as hard as he did to make it happen, because I did not. I don't know how you're stubborn. I'd say I'm a stubborn person.
Yeah.
I'm pretty ridiculously stubborn. I would be the last person I would want to deal with in life if I wasn't me. You know, like if I had the choice to not deal with me, I wouldn't deal with me. I'm extremely difficult to deal with. And Sturgeon pushed me to my limit to be like, you've got to do it. You've got to do it. You got to make this happen. And I'm like, other than the cop killing songs, I don't know any of these works. And he worked with us very hard to make it happen.
So how many days did you have before your first show once you knew you were going to have to sing?
No.
It was the day of?
Yeah, it was the day of. It was maybe 12 hours.
Damn.
Don't even think we had 12 hours. Yeah. 12 hours before, because we crossed the border late.
But since you had to try to get back in.
And we tried to get back in. And so maybe 12 hours altogether before we had to sing. But I had to drive too. So I couldn't like 12 hours prepping. I had 12 hours listening to like.
So you were still the driver.
Oh yeah, I was still the driver. Yeah. I just want to thank Alec for that, by the way. The other guys had a lounge. Still, come on. No, it's cool. Listen, we're going to take a break. We're going to listen to a tune. And then we're going to come back and I'm going to talk about the night terrors that I have around this. Is that okay?
That's all right.
All right, get down. I want to take a break for a second, listen to a tune. This is a tune from David, who was on this tour with us. I called him Dave on this fucking episode, and he fucking hates it when I call him Dave. And I'm such a piece of shit for not thinking of that and for continuing to call him Dave. I'm so sorry, David. I hate myself far more than you could ever hate me for doing it. I'm so sorry. I'm probably going to continue to fuck it up and do it. But this is from David, the brand new singer from The Casualties, who played me a few of the tunes from the upcoming record that is about to drop. I think they're on tour in South America right now. Anyway, David is an incredible front person. I've seen him perform in Starving Wolves before. I've seen him play in Dallas before, opening for Choking Victim a long while back. And I was blown away. I think Starving Wolves is a fantastic fucking band. This dude, Zach, who used to be in Population Zero from Philly, he's also in Starving Wolves. It's like an all-star band. It is fantastic. You're going to love it. And this is a tune from that band. Anyway. Here it is, Starving Wolves. Get down.
I've never
So here's the thing. This tour of these four shows, to me, and I don't want to. I know I was joking in the last segment where I was like lamenting my pain involved. I understand, like, Brad and Sturgeon were under so much more pressure and stress, and the rest of the guys in the band who actually know the songs were putting up with me singing some of these songs and having no idea what the fuck I'm doing. And that's all very stressful, and the crowd was stressed out because they spent their hard-earned money to see a musician that they maybe waited their whole lives to see, and they didn't get to see him. So I understand everybody else is having a very difficult time with this. And I'm not, I don't have stage fright. Like, I don't get nervous in front of crowds. I love crowds. I love interacting with crowds. I enjoy it. But singing, okay, but I do want, and I don't want to joke too much about it, but I do want to say, this was probably the most emotionally, like, havoc-wreaking or, like, fucked up situation for me. I was, like, on the verge of tears. I'm not a crier.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big crying guy. But I was on the verge of tears, like, almost every single night in the dressing room before we went on.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because, like, we're sitting back, you know, in New York City. I'm hanging out with some of our mutual friends and, you know, they're musicians, too. And they're talking about, like, how they were super jealous that Joey got to do this. And I feel like a lot of people, when they're not...
You can name names, too. Fuck these people.
All right, well...
I told Brad and Sturgeon, I'm like, hey, let's ship some people in who know these songs. Like, I can do maybe four or five songs that I actually know and am comfortable with. And then, like, we could ship someone in and who could do the rest of them. But everyone else is, you know, it's like the fucking last minute. How are we going to ship them in for a show?
And then, you know,
later?
You never know if they're going to get in, too, because last minute going to another country, it's, you know, it's going to be another issue.
Or, do they, you know, they have a job or they have another show. Or
oh, yeah, like a million other things.
They have their passport up to date. I mean, there's a million fucking things that couldn't go well with this. Plus, then it's another expense. The crowd's still not going to be happy.
Yeah.
You know.
But, I mean, I feel like it's also easy to say, oh, you know, I wish I was in, you know, Joey's position getting to
I wanted
this,
to bring
then,
I wanted to bring Al from Trashy in.
Right, yeah, that's what I was
names.
Talking about.
I wanted to bring Al from Trashy in, who knows these songs super well and who's helped me try to figure these songs out in the past. And I love Al, and I'm in a band with Al called Cop Out. And I wanted to ship Al in, and I wanted to ship Jason Tanser in, who knows these songs like the back of his hands and who's played with Leftover Crack in the past, and he's an All Torn Up and in Skullcaster with me. And but both of them I knew had work and couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, I'm sorry I interrupted you like a piece of shit. I hate myself.
That's all right. Classic Joey Steele.
But you were talking with Al.
Yeah, I was talking with Al, and he was saying, you know, how jealous he was, like, that Joey got to do it and, like, wishes he could have been there. But I feel like at the same time, it's super easy to say when we're just, like, chilling, drinking beers, sitting in a bar, talking about how we wish we were, like, you know, on stage with the pressure, but then actually having to face it. Not saying you wouldn't have done an amazing job.
I would have killed it,
but
yeah.
It would have been just a whole other level. It's just, it's lighter to talk about, like, when you're like, oh, I wish I could have done that, but I'm never going to have to do that.
If I had known the songs better, or if I had, like, a practice, or
maybe
like
just
one practice... Or if I had, like, time to go through the arrangements better and, like, make sure I knew my mark or where I needed to hit things, I would have felt a lot more confidence. But, like, doing – and we actually brought people up. Well, Dave actually from the Crumb Bums and the Starving Wolves and now the Casualties, he it was insisting that we continually bring people up, much to some of our chagrin, because it was great that he wanted to involve the crowd, but the crowd, when you're in front of 1,000 people and you've never sang a song before, you're like shell shocked and you're like, how do I hold the mic? And
yeah, you're like focused on the actual songs rather than
terrified. These people
adding
were terrified.
The other layer of entertainment.
And also, you don't know how to sing. You know, I'm not saying I know how to sing that well, but you know how to like use a microphone and not make it sound like a screeching cat. No offense, cats. And these people were having a hard time, and it was abundantly clear that just having someone come up and sing these songs randomly was not going to work out super, super well.
Well, I mean, that's more just like LOC karaoke at that point.
Exactly. Which is fun for the crowd. We did it like a couple of songs every night, which is fine. But, you know, you can't – it's not a show. No one's being entertained by it except for the person singing the song.
Yeah.
Anyway, every night in the dressing room, I practice these songs – after setting up the merch, which I still did.
So you were still the merch guy too?
I couldn't do the actual merch, but I set up the merch with the person we had doing the merch. We brought someone in every night to do the merch, and I helped them set up the merch, and then I went into the dressing room, and I like warmed up my voice, because singing these songs that you don't know very well, it's especially important to make sure your voice is in the right place or you're going to hurt yourself. I hurt myself all the time singing all torn up songs, but I knew I didn't want to hurt myself in these songs especially. And so I was warming up and I was like practicing these songs, going over them, and I'm just like shaking to the core. First of all, I'm singing with Dave, who is an incredible front person. I've seen the Starving Wolves play before. They are a fucking amazing band. He's now in the Casualties doing the same thing we're sort of doing every night, which is singing songs that he didn't really write to a huge crowd of people. He's an amazing human being, an amazing front person. I was super glad to be doing these songs with him. Singing with Reed from We Are the Union and Donnie from Rats on the Wall and Alec from Choking Victim, and we're all doing these Leftover Crack songs. They're all such amazing musicians, and I'm just sitting in the dressing room preparing to go out every night being like, what the fuck am I doing? Where the fuck am I? I'm so far out of my league.
It had to feel like, completely surreal.
I just felt so shitty and tiny and like my voice is terrible. I can't sing these songs right. Like Sturgeon sings.
Yeah.
Like Sturgeon's singing notes and keys. You know, I've been all torn up. We played with Warren Women like the other day, and Shauna was just like joking with me in the back at one point, and she's just like, yeah, you're just like screaming these songs though. It's like, how, you're not really hitting keys, Joey. And I'm like, yeah, fine. Fair enough, Shauna.
Way to call me out.
Yeah. Make me feel like an even bigger piece of shit than I already do. But like, you know, and all torn up, we're doing hardcore songs, so it's just like, it's another thing.
Yeah.
I just feel like such a shitty musician. I'm like, I just need to go back home and quit everything I'm doing and just get like a shitty job and be a shitty person and just like vote for Trump. And I just feel like this whole thing is just melting my confidence and ability.
Super depressing.
It was very dark. Like every night in the green room, I was in a very dark place. I was emotionally just like, I'm up here singing my very good friend's songs. People think I'm trying to replace him. People think I'm like enjoying this. This is enjoyable. Like, I've never had to sing these songs without Sturgeon. And singing these songs on stage, singing Crack Rock Steady, which I've sung with them, you know, dozens of times without Sturgeon, I wanted to cry. I'm like, this is sad. This is a sad thing to me.
Yeah. How did you feel after the show? Did you feel any like weight lifted off of you after accomplishing it, or was it still like in a kind of dark place? I mean, I'm sure it was a lot to process in general.
That's a good question. I felt like I was a massive failure. That's pretty much how I feel after every show. Even my own shows. I feel like I never go hard enough. Unless I break myself, unless I break a bone or get the shit kicked out of me, I feel like I didn't go hard enough.
So why do you do it if you just feel shitty like before and after, I feel like Joey?
There's a moment on stage. The only time I'm really happy is when I'm on stage singing my songs. There's moments on stage where I'm like, all right, I'm giving it everything I can. Like, okay. I don't have an ounce left to give. Like, there's no more energy left. But then when I'm off, I'm like, oh, I could have done more. But at the time, I don't think I could have.
All right, so you just need to be perpetually performing.
Yeah, that's fine. That's the only time I'm happy is when I'm on the actual stage. But these songs, I just, you know, plus I saw some videos. I'm like, oh, my God. All the videos I saw were, like, of moments where fights broke out in the crowd. And, like, Dave and I were trying to, like, stop the fight so we lose our where we are in the song. This is the song we did in Quebec City. And there's a fight and the security's fucking up some dude, and we can't really see what's happening because the lights are really bright.
Yeah.
But I see Dave reacting, and Dave's then like trying to go, and he's like, should I go stop it? I'm like, yeah, like it's not worth someone getting fucking hurt by the security. Do what you can. And so we're both on top of it. But then I lose where I am in the song, and I just like fucking sing the first verse again like a fucking idiot. And it's like the last song. This is awful. So many fuck ups. Though, of course, those are the ones that get caught on video.
Of course.
You know, I think they were okay. After the actual set, in most of the cities, in Toronto and Montreal, Skullcaster has shows coming up. So I actually took flyers from shows that I'm playing in those cities and went to the exit and immediately flyered so that people can like come and hear a song that I don't destroy.
Hear your own songs?
Yeah, come hear actual songs that I wrote. And so I was handing out flyers. I didn't have time to think about how shitty I did. So, I don't know. It didn't feel good, but everyone was giving very positive feedback. But they're Canadians. You know? They're super nice.
As long as they're not in, like, the border patrol.
Yeah, unless they're cops. And Canadian cops are still fucked up. But everyone seemed to tell me that they had a good time. And they really appreciated it. And, you know, that was, they were all very kind and warm. And
so were the shows like pretty full then? Like, did a lot of people just go out to support LOC as like a whole, or did you notice that there was like a drop off in like attendance?
Didn't seem to me there was a drop off in attendance. I don't know what these clubs look like when they're full.
Okay.
But you know, everyone's smashed into the stage, so you know, doesn't seem like there's like a lack of people. The crowds were thick, you know, there was a lot of people there, especially Toronto, which was the biggest venue. It seemed packed to me.
That's awesome.
But again, I don't know what this place, I don't know if these places like really follow their capacity or if they're, you know, there was a huge drop in attendance. I have no idea. I don't know anything about the numbers for any of these places.
Okay.
I do know that a lot of everyone who came out and talked to me after the show, whether it was just like a thumbs up or, you know, quickly, or whether it was a long-winded, some of them were long-winded, were very appreciative that we made the show happen. A lot of people did come from very far away, and they were very happy that we at least made the show happen. Some, a lot of people, it was their first LOC show, and they're just like, yo, that was really, really amazing. And I'm like, okay, thank you. You would have been way more entertained if Sturgeon was here, but, you know, it was a different vibe.
Yeah.
And people really appreciated us coming together. And we, one of the nicest comments that I felt was someone who, I think it was my, this guy who had seen All Torn Up in Quebec City. We played the Subhumans before. And this guy, Jeff, a very nice guy. At one point, he reached over the monitor to like, to grab my set list. And I, those are my lyrics. So I stomped on him, like making sure he didn't take them. But he was just like fixing them because they had gotten fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
So I apologized to him afterwards. I realized that he wasn't trying to grab them. He's like, I'm trying to fix them. I'm sorry. I talked to him afterwards. He was super cool. He liked All Torn Up. He had seen us before. And he and a few people after the Quebec City show were like, said the very nicest thing. They said, some of them in French, and Jeff had to translate. He's like, you and Dave were clearly not trying to be Sturgeon. You weren't singing the songs like Sturgeon. You weren't trying to affect his voice. You were just doing your version of those songs, which to me was the nicest compliment to give both Sturgeon and me. He's like, that's exactly what we were trying to do. Wasn't trying to fake it. Wasn't trying to, it was just trying to give it sincere what we do for these songs, you know. And I will say, the crowds are very nice. Met some really fucking cool people, and which is my favorite part of these tours all the time. But also hanging out with LOC in these situations, and hanging out with Dave in particular, we all came together. You know, it's not what they wanted to deal with either. And Donnie and Alec were very supportive and helpful in fucking making this whole thing happen. And I was a wreck every night, you know, like, Donnie, I think Donnie could see in my eyes that I was like on the verge of like crying. He's like, a crying Joey Steele. Let's not have that happen.
Yeah, that, I don't know what I would do.
I don't know what I would do.
That would really throw me off.
It would not be good.
Yeah, like I've definitely seen you like angry, violent, but
those are emotions I know how to deal with. Yeah.
That I expect, but yeah.
I mean, like I said, I'm not a crier. I didn't cry, but I definitely felt the urge to do it because I was so emotionally overwhelmed by the whole situation. And the expectations of my friends and strangers. It just, it wasn't pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot of me thinking and being uncomfortable with my abilities in that situation. But everybody came together and was really cool about it. And singing with another singer, which I've never really done with, I've never done that. Singing with Dave was rad. Dave is awesome. People are listening to the new Casualty songs out there right now, and I've heard a couple of the other ones that are about to drop in the van on this tour. They're fucking amazing. Like, these new Casualty songs with Dave singing are absolutely incredible. They're super political.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people are going to have shit they're going to bring up about the Casualties, and I think a lot of it's worth bringing up and worth discussing. But I'll tell you right now, Dave is for real. Like, these guys are serious. Dave is the real deal. He's an incredible singer. He's an incredible front person. These new songs are amazing. And I love the guy like a brother. After these fucking shows, I just feel like we became so close and like talked about all this heavy shit. I'm imagining he felt the same thing, but maybe not. He plays bigger shows than me all the time. But I imagine he felt some of these same things.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot for you guys to all go through together. Like, nobody was planning on this.
Nobody was planning on it at all. And I imagine he was thinking some of the same. So, like, there was a very intimate thing that we were all thinking. So we got into like a lot of heavy shit on the road together.
Yeah.
And we were all there for each other. It was rad. I mean, that part was rad. The camaraderie was rad. And it was real. And punk community was real. The promoters for most of the cities were real. Real cool. This guy, Sean, in Ottawa, so glad that was our last show because Sean is such a cool promoter and such a good guy. It's good to have a promoter that I knew did not want to shoot me. Like, oh, this fucking piece of shit thinks he's going to sing the songs. Oh, let's see what you're going to do, fuckhead.
Was that how some of the other ones were?
That was, I felt like none of the promoters made me feel that way entirely. Well, there's a little bit of that feeling in Quebec City. In Montreal, I will say the crowd was the most hostile. Like, there were dudes in the crowd while we were singing who were definitely ready to go, who were definitely, like, cocked and ready to fucking hit me. And they were flicking me off the entire show. And I'm
so
just,
they literally just still went to the show, paid to do it to be, like, angry. Like,
they could have got their money
offered
back.
Refunds.
They could have got their money back.
And they could have just waited for you outside to, like, fuck you up then,
yeah,
too. Like,
I went outside.
They like, paid to maybe have the chance to hit you, I
If
guess.
They wanted to hit me, they definitely had the opportunity. I was out front immediately after the show. And those fucking cowards just, you walked the other way. I can't remember all their faces because there was a lot of them flicking me off. But I also invited them on stage to come fuck me up, and they didn't want to take it either. So I was like, come on. I put my mic down. I'm like, come on. And they didn't want to do it. I'm definitely way less afraid of a physical contact than I am singing songs in front of 1,000 people. And, you know, the guys we were touring with, too, Moody, it's Hugo, who puts on Pooza Fest, is his band, and Moody, M-U-D-I-E, I think I spell it. They were great, and they were super cool, and they engaged the crowd, and they were a lot of fun, and they were professional about everything, so that was rad, you know. It was good to have them along. There were some cool opening bands, so, you know, everything was fine. A couple of hostile people, trust me, I've dealt with that before.
Right.
Yeah, every time All Torn Up is played with Leftover Crack on tour, the crowd doesn't want to hear you. The crowd wants you to die. The crowd's like wants you to just melt into the dirt and just like let Leftover Crack play immediately. But in every show, they want to kill you at the beginning. At the end of the set, most of them are like, oh, okay, that was fucking awesome. Right, okay.
So yeah.
I like taking the crowd on a journey from the place they hate to the place they're happy.
So everybody should go into it like hating you.
Well, I think that could be – I think you don't need to tell them to do that, Lauren. I think that's already being done. But, yeah, okay, I guess we could encourage that. I feel like that covers most of the bases. I just think the most important thing that I want people to get from this is to know how personally traumatic and painful this all was for me.
All about Joey Steele.
Is that too self-centered?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Come on. Really? No, honestly.
But then again, you're the only one that I'm talking to about this. So yeah. It's kind of just focused on you.
I think everybody else would agree. So I don't know if it's self-centered, if everyone agrees. Now, to me, I think the lessons to learn from all this, and I think one of the lessons to learn from all this is that it's worth going through what you think is going to be the most painful thing. Sometimes it might even be more painful in ways you never even imagined. It's worth going through because you're going to find out things about yourself that you might not want to know, but you probably need to know. And you'll see who you can rely on and who you can trust through all of it. And I think that, you know, sometimes that surprises you and sometimes it amazes you and sometimes it disappoints you. But it's worth going through those painful moments to make that happen. To me, I think that's one thing that is worth knowing about all this. And yeah, that's where I'm at. Lauren, is there anything other than my sadness and incredible ability? Is there anything else worth really noting here? I don't really know.
I mean, did you get to enjoy Canada at all? Were you there at all after your last show when you weren't, you know, shaking and terrified and...
There's a lot of shaking and terror. No, I mean...
Or like any fun stories? Did you enjoy yourself at all?
No, not really. No. Hanging out with the band and talking with Dave and chit-chatting. And some of the stressful moments, too. They were yelling. You know, there was yelling. I'm sure Reed from We Are the Union fucking hates me. I don't think there's anything positive he has to say about me. I'm going to be honest. I think the guy, you know... I don't think he likes me at all. I'm difficult. I don't know if you got this, Lauren. I'm difficult.
I've known you for a while.
Yeah. I'm a difficult human being. And I think, you know, this is the first time I've ever played with Reed. And I think he got a healthy dose of my difficulty. But it was cool meeting him. And it was nice to see us all push through these painful things. So that was nice. But seeing the cities, you know, honestly, we didn't see any of it. Because we went from city to city, then we went to the place we were staying, then we went to the venue, we fucking you know, we missed sound check most days. And not surprising, LOC.
And so you not only didn't have like your singer or guitarist, but missed sound check.
Yeah, we missed sound check. And so we didn't even have that practice. Like, we just, the first time I sang Nazi White Trash, it was the first time I had ever sang Nazi White Trash, like in front of 700 people or whatever the fuck it was. I had never even, I don't think I've even ever heard the whole song at this point. Like, I know the song. It's a ska song.
Oh, so, that's why, yes.
So I'm like,
your hatred of ska again.
There's an, Nazi White Trash to me has like a false ending, and then there's like an ending on top of it, and I'm like, okay, I didn't even know that that was there.
I would, so that's the song you always skip, huh?
I don't skip it. I just never realized that there was like a false ending. Like, I like the song. I just never realized where it ended, actually. I don't know. It was a wreck. Someone came up to me after the first show I did that, and they're like, tell me the truth. Did you really know the words in the end of Not to Wear Trash? I'm like, no. No, I don't know. I know the first chorus. I know some of the second chorus, but I have yet to learn the third chorus. So I did the first chorus again. So, if you didn't notice.
By the end of it, did you know all of the lyrics?
No, no, absolutely not. Oh, the Nazi White Trash, yes, yeah. Because I got lampooned that first night. And then the third day, we got to practice it. And I'm like, can we please practice it? But yeah, no, there's songs that I did whole verses for that I was just like, lost, lost. Anyway, and so, you know, is there a lesson to learn here, Lauren? I guess have more fun is your lesson. I don't know. What you're trying to tell me to do. What are you trying to tell me to do?
I just wanted to know if you did, by chance, have some fun.
I don't even know what fun is.
All right, so that's a no.
Yeah, I went to some cool restaurants because it's important to me to eat at a fancy vegan place every time I go to a city.
Nice.
And in Montreal, I think, I went to a nice, I think it was Montreal. Yeah, Montreal. We hung out at Catacombs all night. Love that place. We went to the show. We hung out at Catacombs. That was kind of fun. Catacombs is a rad fucking bar and concert venue in Montreal, run by an incredible musician and person, Janique. Yo, Janique listens to this shit. She doesn't give a fuck. She's way, way, way not interested in fucking talking. Anyway, we hung out at Catacombs, and then the next morning, while fucking forcing these people to get out of their fucking rooms, I'm like, I'm getting breakfast at this fancy vegan place like three blocks away. Let's fucking go. It took them forever. But we went to this really great place. It's called Invitation V Bistro. And it was really fucking good. And went to a rad place in Quebec City. Got some good vegan food. Tried to avoid A&W's. You know what A&W is?
Yeah, I worked at one.
Oh, man. Disgusting shit. Also, they have meatless burgers, but they were sold out everywhere we went.
Oh, I didn't know that. I mean, I worked at one when I was in high school and in college.
Oh. Well, the fries are good.
Yeah.
The fries are impressive, and they have root beer, which is cool.
Yeah. I was one of the, like, car hop girls.
Excuse me?
Yeah. It was like a drive up. And so.
I don't think so. We're not talking about the same place. Yeah. I think that might be some sort of. Are you sure that's a. Is that a food place?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know.
Right, we're super way off topic now.
Anyway, Donnie kept wanting to go to A&W's, and I'm like, these are disgusting. These are absolutely disgusting. Like, why do we keep eating food. These places? Let's go to fucking anyway, that's so yeah, I went to some good vegan places, so that was cool. Other than that, it was just nice to meet people.
Yeah.
You know, just chatting. All right. Thank you to everybody who came out to the shows and didn't stab me. I really appreciate it. Hope some of you had fun. Please, if you did have fun and you are still listening to this podcast, if you could send me a message telling me that you don't hate me or that you enjoyed yourself, I would super appreciate it, because then I could forward those to Sturgeon and assure him that I wasn't a total failure. If you think I was a total failure, you can send me those too.
He just won't forward them.
I'm just going to forward that one to that to fucking Sturgeon. You can hit us up on Facebook if you're on there at dispatchfromtheunderground.com or dispatchfromtheunderground, or you can hit us up. You can just email us at dftunderground@gmail.com. But honestly, the best place to hit us up is on Facebook.
Yeah.
All right, get down. All right, we talked about this song on the podcast. And I recognize that I fucked this song up like every night. The first night of this little tour in Toronto, I believe his name was Chris, the singer from the Flatliners, who I was unfamiliar with prior to this tour because I don't really know anything other than like the bullshitty like political hardcore bubble that I'm in. Anyway, the Flatliners are incredible, and Chris came up and sang this song, Nazi White Trash, which then got added to the set list because Chris could sing it, but Chris wasn't going to be with us for the rest of the days on this tour. So then Joey was inducted to sing this song, which he did not know. So I now do know it. So if anyone needs a cover singer for Nazi White Trash, you let me know.
Only that song.
Yeah, probably that song and any other song about killing cops. I got those down. Anyway, here is Nazi White Trash by Leftover Crack. Get down. All right, everybody, thanks for getting down with us. I appreciate everybody listening and tuning in every single week. I know there was a little bit more shit talking than I had anticipated on that episode, and I appreciate everybody sticking with us. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there wasn't more shit talking than I thought there was.
No, I mean, that's what I expected.
There was some reflection on there, too. I think there's a lot to learn from this weird experience, at least that I've gone through. I know other people, I'm probably going to go through the same experience, but
I mean, it's a pretty unique experience.
Yeah, it's a weird one. I never had expected to go through it singing songs for a friend of mine's sold-out shows in another country. It was a weird experience. But I do think like this point of struggling through something you don't think yourself capable of doing and doing it no matter what, doing it no matter what the situation, is worthwhile. And then reflecting on it and like fucking, you know, seeing what lessons there are to learn from it all, you know.
Yeah.
After this whole process, I know it's nerdy and it's like not cool. It's like a front man to come back. But I like sat down and spent a couple of days just writing the things that I learned through all of it. Because I think there is a wealth of knowledge to learn from these stressful moments. And I didn't quit all my bands. I do think that there's a lot for me to learn about being a singer in a band and trying harder. But, you know, I do think that putting on an entertaining show, whatever your musical abilities are, and I question mine constantly, surrounding myself with great musicians and putting on a great show is a worthwhile task. And we do it pretty well in some of the bands I'm in. So anyway, I appreciate everybody listening. I appreciate everybody reflecting on their shit. I appreciate my good friend Lauren for coming over and doing the show with me and doing dispatches with me all the time, being this collective. I appreciate that, Lauren.
Yeah, it's a blast.
It is not a blast. It is a blast. It smells like shit in the studio right now.
Okay, well, that part's true, but I do enjoy the shit talking.
yeah, the shit talking does make it all worthwhile. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for hollering at us. Thank you for those of you who are donating. Please continue to do so. You can hit us up at dispatchersfromtheunderground.com. There is a donate button there.
It
definitely works now. I'm sure of it. If you dig what we're doing and you like what we're doing, please go leave a little donation. If even $5 is meaningful, it tells me that people are listening. It tells me that people appreciate this. And, you know, the best way to show that you appreciate this is to share it, but also, like, putting your hard-earned money, which I know everyone has very little of, and giving some of that up to show that you appreciate that. It means a lot to me, and I really do appreciate that. So if you want something in return for that money, you can also shop at our merch store. We have T-shirts and merch for a bunch of the different bands. And if Leftover Crack doesn't pick up their T-shirts from my basement in the next couple of days, I will soon be selling Leftover Crack T-shirts on the fucking merch store. But we have a couple of Days and Days shirts up there, all torn up shirts, and a rad, almost sold out of this great Skullcaster shirt we have with like 1,000 dead cops on it. It's like my favorite shirt of all time.
Oh, yeah, I've got one.
I honestly should just print more for myself because I love the shirt so much. anyway, I'm not going to do that because it's really shitty of myself to do, but I might do it. Anyway, we will have another episode up in the near future. I know I've been a little bit relaxed on posting these regularly. Please subscribe to Dispatches and so you can get a new episode up whenever they're available. I have a couple of cool interviews lined up with a couple of great musicians and artists in the scene. Not sure when I'm going to be able to get to those because I have a little bit of a busy tour schedule coming up and some other things happening, but we will have cool episodes up in the very near future. Lauren will be coming back regularly to do more shows with us here at Dispatches. So hopefully you all dig her and dig this and keep coming back. Till then, get down. On this tour, Reed from We Are the Union was playing guitar and giving me singing lessons on pretty much every song that I sang. And I think on the first night, someone posted online, they're like, oh, they should have that guy Reed. The guy was playing guitar, sing all the songs. He was way better than the other singers, which he thought was just fucking hilarious. And David and I did not think was funny.
Oh, that's brutal.
But we all just assume that person knows that person, whatever, is some bullshit, is a ska fan or whatever, and they just hate hardcore and whatever, street punk or something. So that's what I chalk that up to. But anyway, Reed was gracious enough to let us do our thing, and I know it was stressful for him, and we are pains in the asses, and he put up with us, and I appreciate that. I knew it was an uncomfortable situation for him as well, so I'm really glad that he was tolerant of my bullshit, which was incessant. Anyway, this is a song from Reed, who was playing guitar in Leftover Crack. He is playing guitar in Leftover Crack. This isn't his first tour with them. This is his second tour with them. He's in a band called We Are the Union, and this is their tune. I don't really know anything about ska, so I'm just going to pick a random We Are the Union song and then get more familiar with it. So here it is, We Are the Union, featuring Reed. Get down.
Some days I feel invincible. No one could ever touch me. Some days I wish to not wake up.